Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome back to Blue by 90, presented by Mazin Brew. I am Justin, joined by Jack and Kaylin. As always, we have another special guest on the pod, recurring guest, actually. The King has returned not only to our podcast, but to the University of Michigan, punter Brad Robbins. Brad, thanks for joining us again. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. Justin, Jack, Kaylin, appreciate it. It's been wild. It's been fun. I'm just excited, looking forward to next season. I feel pretty good. So
there you go.
For anybody listening to this on the podcast network and not watching on YouTube, Brad has an incredible mustache right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope you keep that for the season instead of growing out a new beard. I think, you know, new season, new look.
Yeah, keep the stash. Maybe that's for the way to go, huh? It could be the way to go. We'll see. Maybe some new mojo.
There you go.
Swagger. Definitely, yeah. A lot of swagger with that thing on. I love it. I mean, you might have to, just walking into like Rick's or Skeeps, you that would do enough with that thing.
Yeah. And for anyone listening, I've never been to Rick's or Skeeps. I have no idea what he's talking about. I've never been to either of those places.
Oh, man.
You have my word.
Oh, God. All right. Well, I mean, let's talk about the last month that you've had. I mean, or month and a half now. It's been insane, I'm sure, for you. Obviously, it's been a hell of a ride for us fans too. It's just been so much fun to, you know, towards the end of the season. We haven't talked to you, I think, since what, middle of the season, something like that. Yeah. But like, I mean, just describe, I guess, what the ending of the season. Obviously, it ended in some disappointment, but how much fun was the ride through it all?
Yeah, so I mean, that's what it boils down to, obviously, is like the amount of fun and the amount of like togetherness you have as like a team, and this is really what like makes it fun. And really it's like few and far between, and it's like a rare environment to be a part of. I mean, you talk to a lot of people who have played and a lot of like coaches, they all say like, man, this is really rare, like the amount of like brotherhood and, you know, like stick togetherness and, you know, the fight through like different adversity and stuff like that. It's very rare that you have a team that like truly has each other's backs, you know? So I guess like moving through the season, I don't know if we talked before we played MSU or after we played MSU. It was probably before.
It was before.
Yeah. Before.
So like, I guess like that's where our season really started, is like after that, you know? And that's where we define who we were going to be as like a team. I think a lot of the older guys, like me included, in a group text for just, you know, hey, let's get together with everybody after this loss. Let's talk about what we're going to do moving forward, and let's see what we can do, because we have all our goals in front of us. You know, the best is yet to come, kind of thing, right? So had a player-led meeting. It was pretty good. Everyone seemed on board. Everyone seemed excited.
You know, I think Joel told us about that too. A couple other guys told us about that meeting and everything. Before that meeting was had, though, was there any negativity? I mean, obviously that was a very painful loss. Everyone felt that one. Was there negativity or like some doubt there that you guys had to instill or, you know, combat, or was everyone like, all right, let's go get it?
I think everyone was on the same page as like, let's go get it. You know what I mean? But like, there is, of course, like if you don't have that team meeting there and you don't, or the player led or whatever you want to call it, if you don't have that there, I mean, there's going to be obviously like maybe doubt or whatever kind of feelings creeping in, and it's like, yeah, important like right away is like squash that out. Like that's not an option. And I think having like, you know, the guys like Hutch and Josh and, you know, Vistardis up in front of the room, just like at the head of it, being like, hey, best is yet to come, you know, we're going to be okay, and we're going to move forward and forget that, we can worry about that in the off season, you know, and like, you know, plan our, you know, next steps accordingly. But like, we can't worry about that right now. We have no time to lick our wounds, and we got to move forward, and we got to win like this next gauntlet of games.
Yeah,
which was which it was you know, it was like Penn State, obviously Ohio, and like, you know, a couple other teams in that, Iowa. You know, there was a gauntlet of games that you had to complete at the end of the season. And I think without that meeting, it probably could have been different. There could have been some doubt, there could have been whatever, but you know, I don't like to talk about the what ifs. I think we did what we had to do as far as leading up to the Big Ten championship and playing in the Big Ten championship. You know, it was just an unbelievable experience. You know, obviously it's like probably 0.1% of people get to experience playing in like a Big Ten championship. Right. So it's like, I don't know. It was pretty wild ride. It went fast. I wish it would have slowed down a little bit. I wish I would have documented it a bit better, but you know, there's plenty of pictures and plenty of memories and stuff like that. So it was awesome. It was a good time.
What I love too is Roke and Brad, I guess you can correct me too, but I feel like Michigan really revamped their social media game this season, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have a new like social media manager who's a part of like our team for this year.
I mean, just the documentation of that on right? You know, their part or her part, I believe, is Sydney, right?
Yeah. Sydney. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she did an incredible job.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was so fun, obviously, to watch the games, watch you guys win and talk to you guys and everything. But, you know, everything that came out of it from the video production and highlights and, man, I think the video after you guys beat Ohio State that whoever put together, right. Something about 100 shots. How do you miss 100 shots? Yeah, whatever. Right. Highlight video. Oh, my God. Yeah. That got me fired up. Was that wise?
Yeah, that was wise. I'm pretty sure that was wise. Like, he's our only video guy who does that kind of stuff. But yeah, shout out to Sydney, shout out to Bills, and shout out to Ryan. So yeah, Bills so is the photo, the yeah. Like a lot of the like the recruit stuff and like the even my graphic that I posted for like the coming back next year thing. Like Bills right. Does that stuff and makes that. So, and Sydney obviously like comes out with the content and like is able to put her own kind of flair on it and makes it more like interactable with everybody, which is awesome. She's really good at her job for sure.
Yeah, those guys are awesome.
There definitely was some good ones when you guys were like going to away games, like getting on the plane, and she was like kind of doing little mini interviews. Some of those were pretty funny.
Yeah, for sure. And even like if we have like events as a team, she just like hands some guys like the phone, and they're just like, "Hey," she's like, "Hey, just like go document like what you guys are doing. Obviously, like be smart. Like it's social media. Don't post anything dumb, right? But like document like." Like you guys bowling or like you guys, you know,
going to Steve's.
Having fun. Yeah, going to
not you.
I've never been there.
Not me. Yeah, no. I don't think that would fly. I think
I don't know. I've been there a couple times in my life. I don't think a lot of nothing needs to be recorded there.
No, definitely not.
So I mean it was so much fun to watch, definitely fun to take in. You know, us getting to know you and Joel and Jake and some of these other guys, it was just so much fun to watch you guys. So leading up, you know, you're talking about the Big Ten championship, obviously an unbelievable experience. I was there in Indy and I was like, I might as well have been on the sideline. I was acting like I won it and I did just as much as you guys did. But then, you know, then you go to the Orange Bowl, you get, you know, selected in the college football playoff. Walk us through just like the feeling and what you guys did the week before. You're down in Miami, all that stuff, hyping up to that game too.
Yeah. So, obviously you come back. We came straight back from the Big Ten championship, like the day after, left at like 8 a.m. and, came back and there's already stuff set up in our field house and the playoff selection show was about to pop on. So we all kind of grabbed breakfast, obviously watched the playoff selection. We're just hanging out. It was pretty cool. Obviously like knowing into that, like, yeah, we're going to be in the playoffs. It's just a matter of like, if we're going to be one or two, you know? Yeah. So it was pretty cool. Got the two spot and, you know, like everybody else's reaction. Well, Alabama, I don't think they even had like a viewing party because Saban was like, we don't do that stuff here, which is pretty, it's pretty typical. And it's pretty funny. Yeah. I enjoy that. And then, like you see, like ours was like the most proper celebration out of all of them. Like yeah, Michigan at number two, and no one like jumped up and did everything. I was just like, Like golf clubs. Even like the I think it was like Kirk Herbstreit said something about it. he's like that's the most like Michigan like elegant like solid celebration energy. And so I don't think anyone really got too high on that. Obviously it was like we have to move into the next game. We're going into like winter camp essentially. It's like summer camp but in winter, obviously. So you have a couple weeks to prepare for the game. Overall I felt like, you know, for the most part, just like the energy was high, obviously, like, you know, going into a playoff game, all that kind of stuff, but it wasn't like too high to the point where you're overhyped and like doing too much, you know. Right. A lot of people, or at least like in my experience, I've been on some teams before coming into college. It's like you go play like a championship game or you go play something. It's like everybody's all amped up and doesn't know what to do. You know what I mean? I feel like for the most part, the focus and the energy was consistent. So obviously like moving into the game, you have like that week of prep down in Miami. We practiced at Inter Miami, like the MLS team's facility, which was really, really cool.
And yeah, I'm assuming with kick, like you've got to be somewhat of a soccer guy, right?
I mean, I enjoy it. Yeah. I played soccer throughout high school and stuff.
Yeah.
And, I used to play like a lot of FIFA and I used to be into all like the drama of like the trades and all that kind of stuff and like real world soccer. And, but yeah, I've kind of lost touch with it, but I thought it was really cool. I think no one really admired it as much as like the kickers did. It was like, whoa, we're at an MLS facility, you know? So yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. I was going to eventually try to get in contact with them because I have like, Tiempo soccer cleats essentially or kicking cleats and try to like get them a pair and see like if their coach or their manager or whatever would wear them or something like that. Cool. I think that'd be pretty sweet, but I don't know the like all the legalities and like all that kind of stuff behind it, so gotta figure that out. But anyway, it's beside the point. So like the prep practice at that amazing facility, really cool. Got a feel for the grass, all that kind of stuff. Same energy, same focus, just more narrowed in. Obviously leading up to the game or going into the game, felt pretty confident, all that stuff. But you know, all credit to Georgia. They played really well. You know, that quarterback who everyone doubted played a really, really good game. You know, he played well. Their defensive, you know, their front seven played really well. It's, you know, sometimes you just run into a team that's, you know, playing really well. And, you know, what can you do about it? Like, it's not like, you know, guys gave up and weren't trying or anything. It was like, right. You know, it's just you ran into a buzzsaw, a good team. They're on a hot streak. They're playing well. So,
and I think, I mean, a couple things. A, they were – not that they wanted it more, but they were so pissed off, I think, from Bama beating them in the SEC championship that it was just like whoever was in the way next was about to, you know, feel the wrath. But I will say, being in Miami, I was down there for that game too. In that stadium, like in pregame and leading up to it during the national anthem, like you guys coming out of the tunnel, dude, that was so sick. And we were walking into the stadium and I was like everyone's chanting, "It's great to be a Michigan Wolverine." Like, let's go blue chants all over. It felt like we were in Ann Arbor. Like the hype and all that was really, really cool. Did you guys feel that in the stadium too?
So I mean, I guess I felt it. I mean, I guess as like a specialist, you can take a little bit more in than like everybody else who has like, you know, way more responsibilities and way more, you know, different kind of things they need to know and need to be focused on. But like, yeah, I have that soft focus throughout the game where it's like, okay, when it's my time or it's like a couple downs for my time, I'm able to like lock right back in. Right. So like throughout the game, I was pretty like locked in, but like before the game, I was able to, you know, warm up. I warmed up really well. I was hitting the heck out of the ball and like, obviously like take in that environment and that atmosphere. I thought it was really cool to be obviously down in Miami at Hard Rock Stadium. I think it was pretty sweet. It felt like it didn't feel necessarily like a home game, but like, it felt pretty darn close, you know, like there were a lot of Michigan fans there, yeah. And a lot of support, just everywhere you went, you know? And it was felt, I think, from, you know, being on the sideline and stuff like that. Felt pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. You guys got anything?
Oh, you guys were vibing about Miami. I was just listening. I'm along for the ride. I was up in the cold in Ann Arbor, so I didn't, couldn't really relate to that down there.
But
when you guys are down there, it looks like you were able to have, because I'm trying to think back to, I think it must have been 2016 when you guys were down at Hard Rock. Wasn't there something about it being like a business trip and like you guys weren't able to do a whole lot of fun stuff? But it looks like this year you guys were able to kind of go to the beach, hang out, do a couple fun things.
Yeah, so that was the year before I got here. It was 2016. Okay. So I didn't experience it, but like some of the older guys who were like now gone talked about just like being more focused and like more in tune with like the game and like I don't know what went behind all that and like what they got to do, what they didn't have to do. But I know like from the one 2016 guy who was on this team, this last team and was able to go back to the Orange Bowl this year. He told me he enjoyed it a lot more. And I think a lot of that is just like the people we were with too. Their Orange Bowl game wasn't a playoff game. And it wasn't, as high of stakes, I think, as this game. And I don't think, I can only speak for myself. I vibed and felt a lot better about just being with this team and being in the environment and, staying with the guys. We could have, not done anything or done whatever, and I would have been happy, like we could have just sat in our hotel rooms and played cards for 5 days straight. And I would have been happy just because of the company I was with, I don't necessarily know like the story behind that, but.
So two questions to follow up on that. Right. Is the one guy who was there back in 2016, is that Joel?
No, me and Joel were the same class. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So Vestardis was 2016. Okay. Yep.
Center. Yeah. I remember somebody we talked to was on that team. You.
Yeah. Yeah. He is. Yeah. He is older than me, man. He's an old man.
But to, even with what you're saying, just being down there with, those guys that are on the team from this past year, mm-hmm. how much did that play, into your decision of coming back to Michigan?
Yeah. I just think the future is so bright with like everybody that's here, we're losing, some different personalities and some good guys that are, obviously like Hutch, big shoes to fill, like Stuber. He's one of my housemates. He's already like gone and training and stuff like that. And just guys that are good people that are around. But I also think our upside is just like massive. With the, like however many early enrollees are, here and whatnot. And I've talked to a couple of them and, done all that kind of stuff. They seem like really good dudes. And, especially like with the squad that we already have, like the freshmen who contributed last year, the freshmen who didn't contribute last year, who you haven't even like heard from, those guys are like the greatest people you ever meet. There's not really a bad guy, in that class, which is great. And then obviously moving forward, like the older guys and like the middle sophomore, junior, like those kind of guys.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of great people. I think that's what I was most excited to be back and be like dang near the oldest. I don't know if I'll be the oldest on the team, but,
you'll be close probably.
Well, right? we got Welsh off, who's from Germany, who's like, 25 already or whatever.
Oh my God.
Old man, but I was just most excited about just spending more time and like enjoying one more year of like chasing my master's degree and like one more year of just being able to be in college and enjoy like the company of your teammates and stuff like that, because after this, it's like you're not going to go live with five guys outside of college
not if you're doing well.
You're not going to go. Like, I'm just trying to enjoy and not take it for granted or anything. But
coming from three washed up guys that all live with our fiancés, wives, or girlfriends. Yeah, keep doing that for as long as you can. I promise.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's not guaranteed at the next level either. So it's just like. What's the rush? I feel pretty confident, at least in like my ability to perform. And I feel like, as far as performance goes, I'm only going up, Like it's not like as a punter, you forget how to punt and get worse, it just doesn't happen that way. And, you know, with the right attitude and work ethic and stuff like that, this offseason can be huge or it can be really little. So it's like, you know, what am I going to make of that? Is it going to be a large offseason? Am I going to like come out next year and like just dominate, or how am I going to take this offseason, you know? So,
yeah.
And I'm sure Harbaugh telling you that he's coming back next year was the cherry on top, right?
I haven't heard anything, man. I'm
telling you. Oh, okay. All right.
I wish I knew.
It's too smart for us.
Yeah, keeps his
thought we had
his chest. Yeah.
Thought we had him. But tell us, I mean, you obviously did talk to the coaches in, you know, in the week after the bowl game, or the playoff game, whatever you want to call it. You know, you already said a little bit about what went into your decision and stuff like that. You know, what were those conversations like though?
I mean, they were pretty simple because, I mean, meeting with like our special teams coordinator, I mean, we were pretty much on the same page. I'd told him, you know, a couple, like we spoke a couple months ago, maybe it was like towards the end of the season with like game 10 or game 9. And he was already asking me like, hey, what do you think? He's like, would love to have you back. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm 100% all in. I'm really not in a rush. And, you know, I'd like to spend more time here and, you know, take advantage of it, you know? And so, I mean, our conversation after the season was pretty simple. It was more so just like, he was like, so what do you think? I was like, I'm coming back. He's like, yeah, duh. Like, what do you want to, what do you want to work on this offseason, you know? So we kind of just like planned like certain aspects of my game that I can improve on, certain aspects that I'm, you know, pretty solid at, just like moving forward. And, you know, obviously like going into this offseason, it's huge to just like look at yourself and look at like your strengths and weaknesses and what you can develop more and stuff like that. So, a couple different things I have in mind, which is huge, this offseason. Hopefully I can, you know, get a chance to train all that. And I think typically like when you have like a month off in like May or something like that, it's like discretionary period or something like that. I usually get together with like a couple NFL guys and a couple college guys, like down south, obviously, where it's warm and stuff like that. And that's where you really get to make gains and work on your craft and stuff like that.
Yeah. You're going to work with some quarterbacks and get some trick passes in next year.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
I was going to say, you got a whole nother year to convince coach to like throw the ball.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I had one, I mean, it wasn't really a scripted fake against Michigan State where I took a lick by,
you guys,
that crouch guy.
I was not expecting you to get back up, to be honest.
it didn't even like feel bad. Like it felt kind of good. I was like, I don't know if that makes me like crazy. It felt bad that I didn't get the first down. Like it felt worse, but like the contact itself did not feel like terrible.
I was like, I'm coming
safety
back.
Slash
like,
punter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
next year.
Maybe you need some extra snaps at, you can, you're the old guy in the room now. You can definitely like convince somebody, hey, I need to, you know, get in on something.
Yeah. You know how quarterbacks do that at the beginning. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, next year I just won't avoid contact. I'll just seek exactly. contact rather
than I love it.
Have you ever thought about, I mean, I don't, maybe you already do it. I don't pay attention too much after you kick the ball, but are you a, like a flopper that anytime anybody even like brushes you, you're going down to try and get the penalty?
I think I was early in like my career more so, just cause I think like being a freshman, you know, like 6'1", 170 with a bunch of dudes who like are like running 4.4, 4.5s, and like basically everybody to me at that point looked like Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah.
It was like more so I was like timid to where if people were around me, I'd just like maybe if I got like rushed by or something like that to maybe draw a call. But it's like the refs at this point, like I know them, like I've seen them a couple different times and they're just like, yeah, no, like you do that, they just look at you and like shake their head. They're just like, yeah, yeah. No, like,
don't even try it.
You're not getting a call there. Yeah.
Did you ever see that kicker that used to be at Penn State who was like this huge guy who would like run down
yeah.
the field and try to tackle people?
Yeah. I think it's Joe Julius, maybe.
Julius, I think his name was. Yeah.
That sounds right. We got to get Brad on a meal plan to look like that guy.
Yeah. I remember this guy. I just looked him up. Yeah. Joe Julius. Yeah. They will kickoff teams would like figure out like after he did it the first couple times, everybody, like, he was getting so much attention from it. And then like kickoff teams like would just target that guy because they knew they knew he'd go down the field. So like dudes would just blow him up and then he'd stop doing it. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember him just destroying Jabril Peppers.
Yeah.
Oh, did he pop? He popped Jabril?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. There was a – shoot. No, I guess, like, someone like that, like, as far as, like, a punter goes, I don't know if you guys know who Johnny Townsend is. He punted for Florida, and then he was with the Raiders for a bit. I forget who he's with now. His brother Tommy punts for the Chiefs right now. Okay. But – so we played Florida my freshman year, and like Johnny and Tommy, both of them are like pretty jacked. Like they're big dudes and punt the heck out of the ball. And I just remember watching Johnny from the sideline. He'd hit like an absolute nuke of a punt. And then like most punters are just kind of like jogging and like being a safety. And I mean, I'm telling you, this guy was sprinting down the field. Like all systems go, like just looking to spear somebody, you know? So I was like, man. God.
Yeah, we need that from you. Yeah. At least like one time, right? Can you just like one time book it? It doesn't have to be all the time, but just one time go and try it and drill someone.
I think you'd be surprised. I think you'd be surprised about my speed.
Oh, all right. Yeah. I mean, if you're a soccer player, you got to be quick, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're more aerodynamic with the bald head. I know it's covered with, you know, right. a helmet, but still, it's got to have an effect out there.
Right. Yeah, no, for sure. But
go.
The obviously gaining muscle mass and not being 170 anymore, you slow down. I'm sure you slow down a little bit, but maybe not bit. too much. Yeah,
lose a step, lose one step, maybe at half least, a step, yeah. something like that. Yeah. So you talked about losing, you know, some of these personalities in the room, like Aiden Hutchinson, Josh Ross, Andrew Mastardis. You know, outside of yourself, as you're obviously one of the super senior leaders now. but who do you think is going to, you know, possibly step up into those roles, be that guy that is giving the pregame speech, you know, making sure that everyone's doing their stuff, getting guys to the weight room on time, all those things?
As far as like, you know, like weight room and stuff goes, I'm always like one of the dudes who's like 15 minutes early and make sure people are there. As far as that, I think everybody kind of helps each other in that sense. And I think naturally people will decide like what roles they're going to fill, you know? I guess we have to look at like who's leaving and like who's coming back. And that's something, you know, like obviously like Aiden's leaving, right? And he's typically one of those dudes who gives like those fiery speeches. He's a presence in the locker room. Who's going to be like, hey, like we got this, don't worry, you know, kind of stuff. So I guess like that's what we have to do internally this off season, like, especially during like this winter time and stuff like that, is find out who's going to be, you know, one of those guys. And, you know, the best part about it is like everybody respects everybody. And it's not like, you know, it's not like a popularity contest in a sense. I've been in some situations where it's like, oh, that guy's like, he's good and he's like popular. So like, he should be the guy, you know, but like not everybody's fit to be like a leader. Right. Guys who are like, just in my mind from this year, like the three I mentioned, and well, if Ronnie Bell didn't get hurt, obviously that what ifs, right. But he was the fourth guy, but, the three guys, Mastardis, Josh Ross and Aiden, like, top of my head, like those are the ideal leaders. Like those are the guys you want. But yeah, it's just something we got to figure out this offseason, obviously. Like it'll come into fruition. Nature will take its course and it'll, you know, I can't tell you what's going to happen in the future, but I'm sure what's going to happen will be a-okay. It'll be figured out and it'll be good.
Are there any younger guys that kind of stand out that could be, you know, one of those leaders? Obviously Ronnie's coming back, which is huge, mm-hmm. but, I mean, JJ, Donovan, somebody else maybe.
Yeah, all those. I mean, everybody's fit at that level or at that, like that age, that class. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of guys who are fit to fill that role. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, just looking into the future is going to be bright with a lot of those guys. And, you know, each leader is not going to be the same, and it's not going to be the same role to be filled. Every team is going to be different. Every kind of role is going to be different. It's going to have the same kind of aspects, you know, but it's like, it's a different guy, different personality. you know, people just have to adapt. The team has to adapt. And I think it's just like the amount of trust and the amount of like belief you have inside a team is really going to impact how that leader is going to lead. Obviously, if like some guy's trying to lead and he doesn't know if he should be leading or not, and he doesn't really know if he has any belief from anybody, he doesn't have any support from anybody, you know, how are you going to lead a team? Like, how are you going
right.
to impact those around you? It's really about the support. I think that's a role I play as far as just like, I like poking guys like JJ Donovan, like all the younger guys. I like poking and prodding people. I think that's the way like I lead. It's just like, hey man, you should like say this, or you should go like talk to them about this, that kind of thing. And usually it works pretty well. So we'll see, you know, going into next year, what we can do to, you know, develop young leaders and, you know, kind of have the older guys, you know, come to fruition and fill their roles. So
now with you, you said you're early to the weight room and you're, you know, you mentioned your size already.
Oh yeah.
Do people, can you possibly be a punter and be like the big rah-rah guy in the weight room, or are people going to be like, hold on, man, like you're not even putting up anything on the bench press?
Well, I mean, like, I feel okay. So in the average weight room, right? So like if I go to Planet Fitness, like I can lift like dang near as much as like anybody, right? Like I can lift a decent amount, right?
Yeah.
But like you go into like a Michigan weight room, like there are some freaks in there. Like the kickers and punters and snappers for sure. Like this is obviously, this is the only school I've ever been, but like talking to guys from other schools, like they do not do like the same kind of lifts and the same kind of stuff that like we do. Right. They do some stuff that's similar, but it's like, I think the best part about like our program is how like we've been merged with like everybody else. Obviously we have our own like kicking stuff that we can do on the side and do it after or before or what have you. But we are very much like indoctrinated, like, and have been a part of the team that, obviously, if I was to bench like, you know, 400 pounds, you know, it wouldn't be.
You're saying you don't?
No, it wouldn't be a problem for me to like be like rah rah kind of stuff.
Right.
But there is like impressive stuff like we do in the weight room, and I'm like able to be like encouraging and stuff like that, and be able to help guys out. I'm like, I think I'm like one of the dudes people can actually like look to and like trust. Be like, hey,
yeah,
like help me out here, or like I could be the guy. Like we do med ball carries. This is one thing. We do med ball carries, right? We have 100 pound med balls. We have 150 pound med balls that are like, you carry them, you keep them up near your chest, right?
Jesus.
And you have to like hold them, which works like your entire back, works your lungs. Like you can't breathe. It's pressing into your chest. But our coach developed a, essentially it's like, what do you call it? Like, it's like a med ball path, I guess. You know how like you rank like slopes, like, diamond, double, like black diamond, right. Blue circle, whatever the heck. that's so he developed like a bunch of those, and we do them sometimes throughout like the workouts and stuff like that, or like to end a workout, which it's just like one of the hardest things I think like we've done in that, other than running like our conditioning tests and stuff like that.
I think you're getting PTSD from it. You're like, oh gosh.
I'm already thinking about it because it's winter time and we have like it's coming.
You're like, oh, shit.
That was one of the factors I was thinking about. I was like, man, I am coming back from a 6 year, but like,
I
really got to run these 150s and I really got to run these football carries. I miss them when they're gone for sure. You know,
right?
You'll like, rethink your decision in the middle of it, though.
So it's like very difficult, but as it's hard for everybody, and everybody's doing the same thing. You know what I mean? So. As long as like I'm in an environment like that, I feel like I'm able to impact those around me and push those around me. But it's when people are, you know, benching 600 pounds is when like I can't be like, hey man, like you should be better. Like,
no, you.
I would love to see you
be the rah-rah guy though.
Yeah. Right.
Like there's obviously other types of leaders. So
you
can be that other guy.
Yeah.
I'd love to see you as an alter ego. Kind of like that Oregon strength coach, like you get the mustache all twirled up, like B-Rad's in the weight room, time to go.
He's a Miami strength coach now.
Oh, is he? Oh, shit.
But even with like running and stuff like that, like Last year I would like run with the skill, like the receivers, running backs and stuff like that. So I could be able to say like, hey, come on, like we're good, bro. Let's keep going. Like that kind of stuff. But it's just, you just got to know your place.
By the way, who was it this year that benched and squatted the most?
I don't know. I think bench would probably be Mozzie Smith. That guy's a big guy's dude. A freak. Yeah, he's a freak on the bench. As far as like squat, I don't know. So like I hurt my back squatting my freshman year and I had back surgery. Oh. So like I do a bunch of different stuff without putting a bar on my back to ensure like I do pistol squats and like stuff like that with weight that I'm like holding.
Right.
And so I stay away from the rack. So like if they're doing any of that kind of squat stuff, I'm usually off like on my own, kind of doing my own thing and,
yeah,
you know, working out. So I couldn't really tell you about squat, but
I remember bench, yeah, Mozzie. Back Mike Martin was squatting like 550, 600 pounds or something back then. Obviously his arms are the size of my head. So
yeah. It's like your body.
Yeah. I mean, he's just a beast, but I wouldn't doubt that there were some guys on this team that were putting up those numbers too.
No, oh, yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, it's freaky what guys can do. And it's like, I mean, you don't see very many 300, you know, pound guys ever doing pull-ups. And it's like,
oh my God,
every single one of our 300 pound guys can do like 5 to 10, you know? So it's like,
I'm 6'3", 215, and I struggle to do 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not even going to bring up my my exercise routine right now. Try to do 10. Try to do 1. Jesus.
Have you seen the like the monkey bars in our weight room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I vivid like one thing that's just like not natural and not normal is like watching Chuck Filiaga like go across the monkey bars and like swinging and like pulling himself up. Because like they don't go straight across. Like they go like up and then like back down and they're like oh, weird, shit. Right? So watching like Chuck, like one of the biggest humans of all time, like do that, it's just like, man, that is not normal. Like, this guy's a freak.
We got to get him on American Ninja Warrior. He'd be like the right? biggest competitor.
Watching those big dudes do anything, like especially when you get to the combine and stuff like that, I'm like, that man, like if he just walked through the door right now, you know, how is he possibly doing any of that? Right. By the way, Chuck, I just saw he just committed to Minnesota.
Did he really?
Yeah, sticking in the Big Ten.
No, wow. So interesting.
Good for him. Yeah, obviously, good for him. I hope he wins every game unless he plays Michigan.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So yeah, man. I mean it's so basically what you've said to us is that you aren't this gigantic presence in the Michigan weight room, but you definitely would set off the lunk alarm at Planet Fitness.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. No, nailed it for sure. No, I think I'm an old man. I've been there a long time, and like I have a presence about me, but it's definitely not like I'm a rah-rah like kind of guy. Like,
no, not everybody needs to be that guy.
But if someone's for sure. messing up or if someone's like just slacking, like they're definitely gonna hear something about it. You know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, I have another question too. So not only are you coming back to kick more balls, but you're also coming back to hold more balls.
Oh yeah.
Are you excited about holding balls?
Oh yeah. Always excited. Yeah. I learned from the GOAT, Garrett Morse, who won. Yeah.
Hody.
2017. Hody.
So where did you finish this year?
Probably second or third. Well, I mean, I didn't have a touchdown. You know what I mean? We didn't really run any fakes or anything. So
revenge tour. 2022.
Yeah, the fans showed out though. The fan vote, I killed everybody. So
love sure. it. There I was, it. I will say, I do. We have to take a little bit of credit for that because we retweeted it. We retweeted it, and you were at like 3%. And then I went back and looked like an hour later. Obviously, a bunch of other people tweeted it. I'm joking, but no, you were at like 45%. I was like, oh shit! All right.
Yeah. Yeah,
the amount of credit we try to take from anything that happens in Michigan football is incredible.
There was one like specific day where I was just like getting mentioned on Twitter. I was like, what the heck's going on? I like opened up Twitter and it was just like holder of the year, holder of the year, holder of the year. It's like you guys included were like in that. And then I like look at the votes the next day and it's like, it went from 11,000 total votes to like 25,000 total votes.
Oh my God.
And then I had like 50%.
That's amazing. That's pretty good. Did you know, okay, when Coach Harbaugh wore the Run the Damn Ball shirt, did you know that that was our shirt? You still know?
Yeah, I knew it was your shirt. I don't know what point I knew that was your shirt. I mean, it could have been before, it could have been after. Yeah. I know like Joel had one and all that kind of stuff, and Stuber had one.
It was the moment of our lives when we opened up social media and Coach was wearing that shirt.
Well, yeah, literally dropped them off the night before to Reese at the hotel. Uh-huh. And like, we're like, holy shit. The next day we didn't even realize that, you know, the O-line was getting presented with that award. And then we see like this picture on there and we're just like texting each other, going back and forth, like, holy shit.
Yeah, that's awesome. Man,
it was a wild, wild day.
It was, yeah. That was incredible. That was incredible. I mean, your shirt did awesome as well. I've still seen people that are still ordering them too. So if you, they're still on sale at blueby90shop.com. Pin Cancer Deep. Tell us, I mean, once more, what that is all about.
Yeah. So, you know, talking about it again, just like my family friend / mentor, he was my hitting coach and like pretty much since I was like 8 years old for baseball. And like one of my dad's best friends named Randy, he was, diagnosed with liver cancer, pretty high stage. He actually recently passed away like a couple months ago, or maybe like a month ago, I'm not sure. Time flies over here. But he was diagnosed with liver cancer, and I figured, you know, like the best way I could honor him is kind of do like performance-based incentives where I would actually give money for performing well. So for every punt over 50 yards, it would be $25, and for every punt inside the 20, I say $50. I'm at $25. I'm not sure either one. Every punt over 50, $25. Every punt inside the 20 is also $25. So in some games, you know, like unfortunately, like we played NIU, I didn't get to have any punts. So it's like, can't really make an impact in that way, but what can you do? You know? I got to look at the total number, but I think with your guys' shirts, because all of the – I'm not taking any of the money from that. I'm just donating all of it. I think it was like $361, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
And that added to a total of like I had between 600 and 700. So I'm nearing 1,000 personally that I've just – you know, of my own money that I've just tossed into this thing. And I've had people who are going to match me that I still need to get around and talk to them. If I look it up right now, I see exactly what we're at.
I say, I think on the site, the last time I looked, I think it was around 5,000.
Oh, man.
It's awesome.
It's a lot. And like we said, the shirt is still up there on blueby90shop.com. So, in memory of Brad's mentor, go grab a shirt and it'll, you know, go to a great cause here for liver cancer research. So just a really, really cool thing that you were able to do all year. And I'm glad that we were able to be a part of it here and keep it going now that you're
doing it again
back
next
for sure,
year too. Yep.
Right. You know, that was the best part when we were talking and we're like, okay, so now is it, does that go through the whole season? And he's like, and you were like, well, it may go through my whole career. And we're like, what does that mean? Does that mean you're not done?
Yeah. So that entails next year, obviously 6 year, it entails NFL. Like, I'm going to keep this thing rolling.
Love it.
Until I'm hanging the cleats up, you know?
There you go.
So yeah, we're at 5,950. So $50. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. It's an honor. I felt like that was the best way I could do it. Anything to, you know, kind of honor his family and, you know, his legacy and all he's done to be in my corner and help me. Pretty cool. Thank you guys again for doing those t-shirts. Those are huge. Yeah. My whole entire family, obviously.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So the Robbins family has some. I got mine. I should have wore it. I have it hanging up in my closet. Actually, I got the baby blue, like long sleeve one.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Those are sweet.
Yeah.
There you go. We might have to do some more stuff too with you. We might have to do another shirt. I I kind of had the idea too. We might have to do some like kicking competitions in person this summer or something.
Oh yeah, yeah. See, we can do something like that.
See if, who's see kicking? If us three combined can kick as far as you.
Oh god,
that would be amazing.
Ooh. Hopefully, well, we're not putting a lot of money on that one.
Right? we should do something like that. I mean, what's your average?
As far as like punting average this year, yeah. I think I finished at like 46.5 or something like that.
Oh, easy.
Yeah, easy.
Well, yeah, you take away what? You add 10 yards, you know, from standing behind. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know how confident I feel.
I can do that on a line drive probably with like if it rolled 30 yards.
Oh yeah, I guess we do get a roll. We do get a roll. Yeah, okay, I feel a little bit better about it.
You got to keep in mind the Midwest weather too. The 15-mile-an-hour crosswinds that you're trying to swing at a ball. It's like floating in the air. Like,
we'll kick with the wind, you go against the wind. Yeah.
The Midwest.
We're kicking in July when there's no wind.
There you go.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Dang. Well,
And you've got, I mean, obviously we're not not exactly sure what Moody's future looks like, but you've got Tommy Doman. Is it Doman?
Doman, yeah.
Doman.
We call him Toad Man.
Oh, I like that.
Eric Awe didn't know how to say his name. Or he forgot what it was. He was trying to say like his Instagram name, which is like T Doman, right? So Eric Awe, like the first like couple days, Toad Man was there. He was like, who's this Toad Man guy? You know, so that just kind of stuck, and that's, I think our entire specialist group calls him that. I don't think anyone else does.
That's awesome. Amazing.
But yeah, he has a bright
future.
He's
up and coming, though, right?
Yeah.
Are you? Obviously, he's there. Are you prepared to kick field goals if need be?
Yeah, I hit a 59-yarder in like practice. Like I can kick. Like I'm not.
That was
not
a humble brag.
Yeah,
holy
yeah.
shit!
Yeah. Yeah, I'm prepared to. Like, me and Moody always joke about, like, the reverse operation, right? Like, if we're, like, up, like, hey, let's reverse this op. Like, you hold, I'll kick on this one. Right?
Oh, my God. That would be the most incredible thing ever if all of a sudden we're, like, for example, the Maryland game when you guys got to, like, 59 points or something, you go off for the PAT on that final team. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So we always try to, like, look at, like, our coordinator. It's like, like if we're up, we're like reverse off. Like, he's like, nah, you can't do it. Like,
audible.
Yeah. So, but yeah,
he's open to keep his job too.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah. Man. Seriously, that'd be bad. Anyway, I actually have a dinner in like a half hour. Taking my girlfriend out to dinner, which
classy right. guy.
Wow, look at you. You are a classy guy.
Trying my best, man. I'm trying my best.
All right. I mean, you do need some time to do your hair and stuff for the dinner. So, yeah.
I got a fresh shave underneath here, so it should be good.
I just ordered some new products off of Amazon today. I've got a daily cleanser, face and head cleanser, and daily moisturizer with SPF 30. I'm heading to Florida in a month, so I got to protect the seriously. Brand new shave. So
that was no joke in Miami. Like I was sunscreening up before practice, like every time. Like I was like, and like my head was.
It can ruin your whole week, man.
Yeah, it does. It hurts. Oh. It feels like you're fevering. It's like jeez.
Oh man,
there you go.
I think just the sun would just bounce right off. Right?
You'd think so.
Yeah.
All right, old man probs. There you go. Well, seriously. Hey, thank you so much for coming back on. We're happy to have you back on the pod and at Michigan. It's very exciting to see some of you and some other guys, Scooney, Eric Hall, you know, some of these guys that are coming back. I'm sure we'll have some other announcements hopefully here soon too. Mm-hmm. You know, go to Blue by 90 shop and grab one of those Pin Cancer Deep shirts to add to that cause. And then where can they find you on social media as well?
Yeah, so Twitter is at, and then it's like 2 underscores, then it's just my initials, BR, and then my number, 91. And then on Instagram, it's just __, and then it's just my full name, Brad Robbins.
Beautiful. So, all right, go follow him there for quality kicking content. And you can follow us as well at Blue by 90 on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and on the Mazin Brew Network as well for podcasts and for YouTube as well. So thank you for listening, and go blue.
Go blue.
Go blue.
Go blue.